Hey,
what is up?
What's up, guys? Welcome to another and final
of the season
episode of Dos Virgos.
So thank you for joining us on this, our first season, and coming back every week.
Yes.
Thank you for hanging out with us during our little hiatus.
Yes.
You know, life be happening.
Life be lifing.
We're both actually coughing and phlegming right now.
Yeah.
So if you hear the, bear with us.
It's this LA weather, dude. It's just like, it goes from being hot as heaven in the daytime.
Yeah.
And then like at night, it's just like 30 degrees.
Yeah, my go-to outfit is a wool sweater and sandals.
Do you remember ever seeing people, like, you know, like white people, when they used to wear shorts and
yes,
and you'd be like, shorts and a jacket, you'd be like, yo, what's going on?
Yes, I get it now. I get it. I even like a mini skirt and Uggs. I'm like, why are you... No, it makes sense
it
here
makes a lot
to
of
wear
sense.
A mini skirt and Uggs. I totally understand it now.
It's like, oh, we should just guess you guys from California.
Yeah, that's what it was. We didn't know that they're from California. And that's how you have to dress, because you will go through every kind of weather throughout the day.
Throughout the day.
It is so cold at night here.
Yeah.
Even in the summertime, it's cold at night.
Which it is.
I guess I'm finally understanding, but at first I was played many a day. Freaking wearing like just a dress. No, I didn't bring no sweater, no jacket.
No, you always gotta have a sweat in the
8
car.
O'clock, I'm like shivering. Like, what the hell? I'm sorry. Is it not August?
It's not. No one told LA. But would you rather LA's crazy weather or New York's seasonal, like, brick winter and then, like, hot summer, hot homeless summer?
No, I mean, I hate the winter and I hate the snow and I hate being cold.
Yeah.
So...
But don't you like the snow around Christmas?
No, I hate the snow. I hate it. I hate it so much. It's just, it's so, like, bothersome. Like, snow, you know what? Okay, like, I've gone, like, not skiing, like snow sledding, snow...
Snowboarding?
No, the other one, snow, like you're in a canoe or whatever.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know those.
Like you're laying
Caucasian
on like a, yeah.
Things.
It's like you're laying on like a lifeboat.
A lifeboat.
Like, you know when you go to the water park?
Yeah.
And they have the tubes, the inner tubes, inner tubing. I've gone snow inner tubing.
Okay.
And for a vacation, it was nice to drive up to the mountains and have all my snow gear. Like, you know, jet skiing?
Yes.
I've done snow jet skiing. So it's not, it's
skis.
No, you're on a bike.
Okay.
I've done that.
In the snow,
yeah.
Okay.
And that was cool. Like, it was a vacation. Like, to just have the snow be in my everyday life is terrible. And I hate it. And, like, then the ice forms under the snow. And then it's, like, just a death trap walking around.
You have to know how to walk. There's, like, a technique that my dad taught me.
Oh, what is it?
It's, like, if you're walking, it's, like, you're putting more pressure on the tippy toes. You don't want to...
Oh.
You don't want to, put all your weight on the back, because then you can slip.
Oh.
So it's just more of like a deer walk that you do on the snow. Yeah, my dad taught me that. It's worked well for me.
Never learned that.
And then you learn how to spot the ice parts. Like, because you know sometimes you're like, is that ice? You look a little too slick. It's
but then
ice.
You have like black ice, which
you gotta, yeah, you gotta.
No one can see, and then you're just assed out.
Yeah.
No, LA has the weather beat, New York's weather beat, but I do miss rain.
Yeah, so dry here.
Yeah, I miss like I
dry
just
like
I just
people.
Love like a nice I just love like a nice rainy nap.
I know.
Like
the pitter-patter, right?
Yeah, like you crack your window a little bit so a little of that cold, like moist air comes in.
Yeah.
And then you have like the rain coming down, like it's dark.
Yeah.
Maybe TV's on, maybe not. It depends on what you're saying. But that is like some of the best sleep you ever had. And
so what you're saying is next time you take a nap, you want me to stand outside with
the hose and spray out across the window. That honestly would be ideal. How can we, wait, speaking of my apartment or being outside. So the other day I came home and there was extension cord leading from my apartment, like not inside my apartment, but right outside my front door, there's like a box, an outlet box,
yeah,
right? And there was an extension cord plugged in going down the trail to two apartments away, right? And I was like, oh, maybe they're like, maybe the, first of all, I was like, what the fuck's going on? And then I said, maybe the people in the building are renovating another apartment. And then I looked and there are several other outlets before mine. So I was like, well, I'm gonna come back tonight, and if it's still there, I'm gonna do something. I come back last night and it's still there. So now I'm like, is someone trying to like siphon my power out of my home? So I called my mother and she's like, I said, I'm gonna tell, I said, I'm either gonna one, unplug it.
Yeah.
Or I wanna tell the landlord, like, oh, I think someone is, you know, well, I wanted to ask, does this power come out of my apartment?
Right.
Or is this attached to the building's power?
Right.
First. And my mom was like, oh no, don't tell on them.
What? You know, snitch, yeah, all day.
She's like, don't tell, you know, people are struggling. I was like, yes, I'm like, I know people are struggling. I am those people,
right,
who are struggling. She's like, no, don't tell. You know, I think she was going to like, I think she was saying, if your bill is higher, I'll pay for it. I was like, you're insane.
Your mother is such a peace person.
It's ridiculous.
A Bible given.
It's to the point of like mental illness at this point. Cause that makes no sense. But this morning, they unplugged it.
Okay.
Before I could tell.
Okay.
Cause I was going to tell.
Are you going to clock your bill now? You got to be like,
I am. It was only 2 days. Okay. So I don't think it'd make a big, big difference unless they were in there like, I don't know, running a generator.
Right.
But I was just like, what in the world? Like, what? And the wire wasn't even inconspicuous. It was an orange extension cord.
The heavy duty.
The heavy duty. Literally going two apartments down. Like, I was like, what? Anyway, that's the foolishness of what's happening over at a Chateau Asia's.
Chateau Asia.
Yeah.
You gotta put the Asia.
Chateau Asia, right.
Yeah. So what's the topic today?
We're doing like a recap or like a, you know.
A life recap.
Yeah, also. A life recap. So we're gonna discuss like things we could tell our younger selves about. That's dehydration.
That is? That, yeah. I'm talking about skin on my elbow. Yeah,
when it doesn't bounce back.
I'm dehydrated?
Yeah, I think you are. Turn your hand over. No, it's just like this.
We're just checking my hydration
level. You might be dehydrated, yeah. I think you're dehydrated.
Okay, I'm gonna drink some water.
Yeah, you might need some electrolytes, actually.
Well, I'm sick.
Yeah, because water doesn't really hydrate you. Like, the stuff you need to not be dehydrated.
Yeah.
You know what? Put some salt in some water and drink that.
Ugh, it's disgusting.
Yeah, not a lot of salt.
It's a little bit of iodine.
I didn't give you that Pedialyte.
You didn't bring it over. Damn it. We're okay. On a tangent. Let's get back. Yeah, so things that I want to tell, I wish I could have told my younger self.
Yeah.
Younger Angelique could have really benefited from the knowledge of this old fogey that's on the today. you want to start or you want me to start?
Yeah, I'll start. All right, cool. Yeah, I agree. I think, like, if I could just tell myself, like, just about lessons in confidence and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Because, like, you know, you have to learn to be confident, I think, especially like being a black woman, being right. A woman,
right?
For me, not being the skinniest of people, like right. You have to like really learn how to like love yourself, because like society is like you shouldn't,
right? So they have like these unrealistic, you know, models of what beauty is.
Yeah,
and you have to try to figure out how you fit into that little scheme.
Yeah. So this is just a random list I made. So first, I started with sex. Right?
Ooh.
Yeah. And I said, in terms of sex, like, I would tell myself to have it.
Oh, gosh. You would tell yourself to have it. Okay.
Have it. Yeah. Wait,
was your youngest self not having it?
Not till I was, like, 20.
Okay. So you would tell yourself to have sex before 20?
No. I would tell my younger self. So actually, what I would tell myself about having sex is, don't put too much stock in who you lose your virginity to, in terms of like, is he the one type thing. What I find now is more important is, does he know what he's doing? Because the first person I had sex with was also a virgin. Uh-huh. And I think that was probably the worst idea ever.
Okay.
He had no idea what he was doing. I had no idea what I was doing. And it made me like really hate sex for a long time. It wasn't like 2 or 3 years into being sexually active that I was like, oh, I like this. Because it was with someone who had no idea what was happening, and I guess his only reference was porn, which is unrealistic as well, or yeah. can be unrealistic in real relationships. Mm-hmm. And it just made me really, really hate sex. And I also, in terms of, I say have it, is like after he and I broke up, I stopped having it. Mm-hmm. Because I was just like, you know, I have to be in love to mm-hmm. have sex. And I have to like really have this like really deep connection with them. Mm-hmm. Because if not, I won't enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And I told myself I wouldn't enjoy it. And then the person I had sex with after him, I did not enjoy it. Because mm-hmm. I just had this, like, I don't want to say fantasy, but I just had all these, like, rules of how I should be enjoying sex and who it should be with. Mm-hmm. And it just was also hard to enjoy. And then finally, I met someone else and we had sex. And I was like, one, I like this. Mm-hmm. And two, I was like, I want to have more of this. And it doesn't have to be with someone I'm madly in love with. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm older, it has changed again. Mm-hmm. I do require a little more. Like, I'm old. I'm old now. I ain't trying to just be like, have sex with everybody anymore because I'm tired. But when you're young and you can have sex safely and responsibly, mm-hmm. very important, use protection. Mm-hmm. I say have it. Just to know what you like and what you don't like.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like a lot of women, you know, we limit our partners mm-hmm. and then we're older. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of women, I've had this conversation where they don't even discover they like sex till they're in their 40s, which is wild. Oof. And that's because maybe they married their high school sweetheart or whatever it was.
True.
They get divorced. That sex was just to make kids or whatever it was. And now they're 40 and they're like having more sex and they're like, oh, I actually do it like this way. I like this, like that. So I'm just like, just have the sex with who you want to have it with, as long as you're doing it safely and responsibly. Mm. So that's what I would tell younger self, younger Sonia.
Mm. Something I would tell younger Angelique is be patient. I feel like that time is a constraint put on by society. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we set these deadlines and things for ourselves. And don't do that, because basically if you don't hit them, and you won't a lot of the time hit them, you're going to get disappointed.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, it takes away from the moment that you're already in. So my advice would be like, the season you're in is the season you're in. Mm-hmm. Not saying that like you shouldn't set goals. I definitely believe in that. But also understand that, like, you know, life is a journey and things aren't going to fall into place how you really want them to. So just like, have a little bit of patience and grace with yourself. I feel like I really had everything planned out.
Right.
I had it planned out to a T. And it didn't happen. It's still happening. So, but I'm at a place now where I'm just like more peaceful and stuff like that. So I feel like I'm getting into a greater sense of self now. So I wish I'd had that. Maybe, you know, back then.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to make a square fit into a round hole.
You know, right. So like more things. like a time frame ish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then like by the year 2021, I will have this done.
Yeah.
It might come in 2022.
Yeah. You know, like you're not gonna get married, have kids, and blah 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 by that timeline, or you know, who knows what your story will be. But yeah, just be patient. That like just. I keep striving towards what you wanted to, but just stay away from like what society tries to push on you. Like this is like, you should have this done by this time. And
yeah,
like Tracy Ellis Ross was talking about how, I guess some kind of TED talk that she did that someone sent to me. And she was basically just talking about like how she thought that she would, you know, be married, have kids and stuff like that. She got the career,
right,
which is on her list, right. But you know, she's also never been married, doesn't have any kids and stuff mm-hmm. like that, but she still has a great life. Right. Not saying that that's something that's not going to happen for her. It could happen at a later time. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, does that make your life less because it didn't happen in that time?
Right.
No. So that's my...
And I think like sometimes when people have these like very rigid time frames or deadlines, they will hit them, right?
Yeah.
But it's just to hit them.
I agree.
So, like, you'll marry someone because you think by 32 you should be married.
Exactly.
And you probably knew he wasn't the one or whatever it was, or this wasn't what you wanted, but it was like, but because you had to be married by 32, you got married, and now it's like, F-bomb.
Yeah, and I think, and from experience, that's partially my story, is that I, you know, like, I got married at a time where I felt like I was supposed to get married, and I felt like this is when you do it, you know? This is the time in your life that you do it. And you kind of, like, are focusing on the timeline, whether, or instead of, is this the right person that I should be marrying? Because the right person could come, like, 4, 5, 10 years later, who knows? But you were so focused on, fixated on, this is a societal norm that I need to, like, be married at this time, that you marry the person that wasn't meant for you.
Right.
And they're saying, you know, like, your date, what was I listening to, or what were you listening to? It's like, what's his name? What's the comedian on Netflix? There's another one.
Dion Cole,
when he's talking about, like, sometimes you marry at a level that you were just supposed to be passing through. That hit home.
Yeah.
Some of these people you ain't supposed to marry.
Right.
You know, some of them, you just, like you said, you're supposed to date, have sex with, you know, learn what you like. Right. And keep it moving.
And learn what you don't like
and keep it moving, you know?
Yeah.
But some of us, you know, whatever the reason, and you get stuck, and now you're stuck.
Yeah, I mean, before I decided to, like, fully...
I'm sorry.
That's funny. Before I decided to fully commit, like, back to acting, mm-hmm. I was, like, applying to go to grad school.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was 29, 30, I think. I'm not sure at this point. But I was like, I always saw myself having a master's in something, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, well, here I am, approaching 29, 30. I need to have a master's. I need to be in grad school. I need to have a master's by the time I'm 35 years old.
Right.
And so I pursued that heavy because I was like, this is what I told myself I would do. I actually didn't get into grad school.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, like, being devastated, but, like, so briefly. And I was like, oh, it's because I'm supposed to not even be going to grad school for social work. I'm supposed to be pursuing acting full time. And it was, like, it really, like, a revelation how upset I wasn't that I didn't get into grad school. Because I was, like, I really thought I was going to be, like, crying. And I was like, oh, it sucks. Woo, dodged a bullet.
Right.
But I was so set on going to grad school only because I was like, I always knew I'd have a master's degree. And it was getting that time where I should be getting one by now.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, you know, I'm not saying I won't have one.
Yeah.
But at that time, it wasn't meant to be. And it helped me actually pursue what I wanted to actually be pursuing.
Yeah.
So, you know, just be flexible with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of that, I put education... Something that
yes, that's on mine I want to
yeah talk about. So I like college was cool, but I really feel like what I got out of it the most was like who I met. Like I met Angie in college, and my college for me was an experience. And I don't regret going. I don't regret going when I went, but definitely there was pressure to like you know you finish high school, you go right to college. And I just feel like, I know when I have children, I'm not going to be that way
mm-hmm.
with them. Because, especially with all this freaking student loan debt and stuff like that. We're forced into college and we don't know what we want to do. Mm. First of all, college is strange because you go from not making your own schedule. You go from like being told what to do, when to do it, when to eat, when to go to the bathroom for... 12 grades, so let's say 12, 13 years of your life, right? And then it's like, you're in college, figure it out. Like, excuse me? What? Yeah. Like, you need time to, one, take a break. Like, I think what's called a gap year. I think a gap year is very important. And I feel like, you don't believe in gap years?
No, because I feel like a lot of gap years turn into years and years and years.
Stay
at home.
No,
year
no, but
college.
I feel like if your gap year becomes... You never go back to college. Maybe it wasn't for you, you know? Yeah. I don't feel like everyone needs to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you don't know what you're there for. It's not free.
It's not.
Unless it is free for you, you do not need to just be sitting in the classroom like, why am I here?
But that's why you have the classes that go with any degree.
Right. But even that, I mean, like, some people, like, school is not for them.
Yeah.
Or not college, you know.
Yeah.
There's like trade schools, there's this and that.
Okay.
Everyone doesn't need to be sitting in a 4-year university.
That's true.
And I feel like there's so much pressure just to go straight into it without realizing like, what do you actually want to do with your life? Because if you decide I want to be a mechanic, you do not need to go to college for 4 years.
You go to mechanic school.
You go to mechanic school. And maybe it took you a year working. And you know, also I feel like sometimes when you take a year off, right? And let's say you get a job, and this is not to hate on fast food jobs or those kind of jobs, but let's say you get a job in that kind of field and you realize you want to make more money. You want to be in a more office professional setting,
okay.
right?
Okay.
Because now you've learned what you don't want. Mm-hmm. You've learned that you do not want to work in fast food any longer. This is not for you.
Right.
Because now you've been in it. Like, you've got a real world experience to compare the life you want to.
Right.
So I feel like sometimes you need to, like, almost like actually live life. Because college, if you're in college and you're not working, it's just more of the same. It's more of this, like, fantasy world where it's like, I'm going to learn everything. You're not getting any real world experience. And then you're an adult. And then it's like, okay, there's no more school.
I know people that go to school, just go to school.
Right,
like
exactly.
Like full-time students.
Yeah, forever.
Forever.
Forever. And it's like...
like, what's...
what's the plan here?
Nothing.
Right. So I just feel like college is very important. I just feel like there needs to be more of a talk about, like, but what do you want from your life? And what kind of school should you go to? And if you need a break, then...
And it's okay not to know, because some people don't know at 17.
Yeah, exactly.
What you want to do for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and I think there's also just so much pressure, especially like if you are like saying, I'm going to go to school to be a psychologist, whatever. And then you get in there and you decide, oh, I like something else instead. You know, it's like, man, but can I change my major? Because people want to say, it's okay to be indecisive a little bit. It's all right. Like, this is you're growing. You don't know what you like fully yet. And your likes and dislikes change yearly, monthly, daily sometimes. So yeah.
And parents, a little parenting thing.
Yeah.
Everyone, parent how you want. But I just don't think you should be kicking your kids out at 17, 18. I know you're trying to get your life back.
Right, I agree.
But like, yeah, like you said, they're barely adults.
Yeah.
We're baby birds. And, you know, that's a lot of mistakes happen. Let them have that year. If they're going to take that year off, let them stay home and figure that crap out.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, make them get a job and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Try things. But, yeah, it's just not like, hey, boom. You know, you go from everything, like you said, everyone doing everything for you. Now all of a sudden you're like, and that's how credit card debt happens.
Yeah, exactly.
All of a sudden now for the rest of your life, you're... in collections.
I totally agree with that. Like, I don't know where this came from that once you turn 18 you need to leave home. I mean, if you're
I think that's an American thing.
Is it?
I think they do that in America.
God,
that's what happens when you were like a teen mom. Not like, listen, do you boo? I don't want to get no hate mail. But you can't, like, when you have kids, your priorities change.
Right.
And this whole, like, get out the house so I can get my, you know, you got to find a balance between.
Yeah, I feel like if
your
child.
Having a life. And,
like.
Yeah.
If your child is acting, my favorite word, wayward, right?
Wayward.
Because you still have rules. Even if you're 18, you still have rules to live by in this household. So if it's like you're coming home at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever your rules are. If they're not abiding by your rules. And I think your rules should be flexible to allow that they are an adult now.
Yeah.
But if they're just doing what they want to do, they're not contributing in any way, and you've asked them to, you know, maybe you should go out. Maybe you should go live on your own and be the grown man, woman.
Exactly.
You think
especially
you are.
If you're disrespectful.
Right. If you're just, that's not even an option.
You got to go.
Locks change. I'm throwing you a bunk bed on the street. But if they're just like, I just need time. I need one more year to be a child.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a big deal to like let them stay and be a child.
Yeah.
So.
Stay with mommy.
Yeah. Life is hard.
Here's my next one.
Okay.
Save your money.
Yeah.
Save your money. I would tell younger Angelique, man, start saving as soon as you get your first job. Practice saving, investment, online savings account that builds interest, Roth IRA, look into all of that stuff. That should be a class in high school.
It should be.
And it's not. You got to train these kids to like start saving their money, because when you die or close to dying, Social Security ain't giving you nothing, you know? So, and you don't know what type of job, especially if you're an artist.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to have a job that is, you know, giving you a 401k or, you know, preparing for your retirement. You're never going to retire. You're always looking for a job.
Right.
So, you know, you need to, and then you never know where you're going to be, or you're moving to LA and you need blah, blah, blah. So if you start saving when it's not such a big deal and get into the habit of that and then living below your means, you can just prepare better for whatever is to come. So it's just so important. I wish I could tell myself, like, you don't need those Jordans. You don't need, you know, like, relax yourself. That weave is going to be all right, you know. It wasn't that fly anyway because, you know, the glow up is much, much so better funny. Now. So, you know, save your money. You can still have the things you want. But, like, rent, investment, saving, buy something that's going to build money for you. Buy some stocks. Do something.
It's true. And it's so crazy. Like, these are lessons, like, at this age, I want to invest in some stocks and whatever else. I have no idea how to do it. And I'm sure we have internet. I can just research it.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be great if someone just told me?
However, I will say in fifth grade, we had bought our first stocks in school. And I think I was in Atlanta. It was definitely not in New York. So mm-hmm. It's like different school systems do have that. So I did buy my first set of stocks. I don't know what happened to that.
You're a millionaire. You guys bought the first stock at Amazon. You'll be here struggling. You're a damn millionaire, Angie.
And then cash out. But definitely that's something that should be taught. And if it's not in the school, parents teach your kids.
Yeah. I know my high school did have a class about that as well, like a stocks and bonds class. Mm-hmm. It was an elective, so no one cared to take it.
Yeah.
Two of my friends took it, though. But I feel like it should have been a mandatory class.
It should have been.
Like, you should know how, especially if we've known for years that there will be no more Social Security
right
in the future. If we've all known this, if scholars know this, if teachers know this, then we should have been taught what our alternatives are for right. our future. If you're old, you're going to have no money.
None.
So, yeah, definitely I think saving is such an important lesson.
Yeah. And speaking of saving some money and making some money, we'll be right back. All right, we back.
Okay, so this one is gonna seem like a duh moment, right? But don't let fear stop you.
Mm.
Which is like duh. Everyone knows you should let fear stop you. But you really can't. Like, it's so important just to, like, well, there's a quote that goes, courage is like moving forward this in spite of fear.
Yes.
Yeah, so you're still gonna have it because fear is a natural thing.
Right.
Going against the grain is natural.
Right.
Doing new things is scary. Like, everything that's not like planned out for you is right. scary. But usually, like, the greatest risks have the greatest rewards.
Exactly.
So it's just very, very, very important to just, like, don't let fear stop you. I'm talking about, like, you know what? Honestly, everything. I'm like, don't do dangerous things. But if you want to, like, I am afraid of skydiving, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm afraid of flying.
So would you skydive?
With no.
In New Year's?
But I'll tell you why. Oh, okay. Well, okay. So here's like a little story. So I think 2 years ago, my significant other. Let's keep it there. Anyway, he surprised me with a helicopter ride.
That's right. Sweet. Okay.
So the thing is, I am so afraid of flying. When I do fly, I take pills. I take drugs. I take prescribed medication.
She's like,
to I'll take anything, honestly. I take prescribed medication in order to get on a plane.
Wow.
Cause that's how.
And you love to travel.
And I love to travel, right. Yeah. That's how big the fear is. I hate it so much. I didn't get this fear. Maybe it didn't kick in until about 6 years ago. Yeah. About 2013 is when this whole thing developed. I've been traveling way before that. So I knew I couldn't stop traveling. I knew I had to just find a way to make it work.
Right.
So anyway, so he takes me. So we're driving and we get to the hangar, the helicopter hangar. And I'm like, what are we doing here? Because I don't have any drugs on me, and I don't think he got them either. So I'm like, what are we doing here? And he's like, I'm going to helicopter ride. And I was like, well, have fun. I cannot do this. I can't. And he's like, come on. And I was like, you don't understand. Like, I don't have drugs. Like, I can't. I don't have a drink. Can I get a drink? Can I get something? And so I did end up going on it. And I'm not afraid of heights, even though I'm afraid of flying, which I know that makes sense. So I was able to visually appreciate the sights. It was very beautiful.
So you went up in it.
I did it. And it lasted like, I think it was an hour ride. We went from New Jersey to New York and then back to New Jersey. It was amazing, right?
Right.
I did not speak for the entire hour. I couldn't speak. My mouth would open up. I took a picture and you can see like the distress on my face. Like my eyes are watering. My twist out, deflated. Like it was so much stress. So we land and I immediately, so there's a restaurant, on the site and I ordered like 2 Cosmos and I like chugged them. I went to the bathroom, started crying. Came back out, like feeling a little better. And like, he was just like, oh, like, why'd you do it if you didn't want to? Yeah. Or whatever he asked me. And I was like, well, because I just don't want to have regrets because of fear.
Yeah.
It's more important to me to challenge myself and to do things. I was like, you know, if I let fear hold me back for doing things, I do nothing.
Right.
So it was just more important to me to like, not even conquer the fear, but to like fight against it or to do something in spite of it.
Right.
Because I knew like the reward. Yeah. How great. I can say I've had a helicopter ride. Like everyone can say they've done that.
Right.
And I can say it because I kept moving in spite of the fact that I was like near gonna poop my pants. And that's just everything. And just like a comment on fear, like sometimes people will discourage you.
Yes.
To do things you want to do. And it's not because they want to discourage you.
No.
It's because they're fearful also.
Exactly.
And their fear is manifesting in discouragement. Right. And you have to like not let that bring you down or even take it personal at times.
Yeah.
Because they really want the best for you. Some people, they don't want the best for you. But you, I think you should be able to discern who's who.
Yes.
Right? Like your parents. They generally want the best for you. And when they say don't do something, it's because they are fearful of the results. Because it's not, they don't know.
Yeah.
And they, you know, want you to come home alive or they don't want you to be disappointed as well.
Exactly.
And it's just like, you know, you have to like kind of let them know it's okay. It's going to be okay. I know like moving out to California, I mean, my parents were kind of like, good luck. But that's how they were. But I've been this person for a very long time. So they're kind of like, there's no telling you you're not going to do it.
Right.
But other people were like, oh, what if you don't make it? And you know, what if you have to come home? And I was like, if I have to come home, I'll come home.
Exactly.
I don't care. I was like, for me, the bigger issue would be never going. Mm-hmm. Like, if I have to return home, whatever, even if I just don't like California
right.
in another year or so, and I go home, I can go home knowing that I
tried. Yeah.
And I can say it wasn't for me because I tried it.
Yeah.
As opposed to being like, well, I'll never know. Like, to me, that's so much more scary.
Yeah.
Than, failing or, you know, things not working out that were scary to do.
Right. I agree. And that kind of segues into what I was going to say is as far as like tell people less, like make sure you know who you're allowing to kind of like speak into your life. So it's just like you said, some people, you know, will discourage you for your parents for it. I agree. It could be like you never want to see your kid get hurt or someone that you care about. You don't want them to be disappointed and hurt and stuff. So you try to protect them, but don't protect them so much to where you don't allow them to live their life.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And a lot of times or people will project their own disappointments onto you. Like maybe they tried something.
Right.
You know, like tried to be an act. You ever meet those like people that tried acting and it didn't work out?
Yeah.
And then they're like, you know, I don't have to be an actor, but you know.
Especially in LA, I meet them a lot.
Yeah, so you meet, and then they're just kind of like I met this person where we don't communicate anymore. But we met through acting, and that was like our common thing. And I still continue with it, but he just became so jilted by the industry to where he was like, oh, you know, like he got on like an episode of Law and Order and it's like, oh, everyone there is just like a horrible actor and everything is horrible and there's no real acting anymore. It's not like, you know, and it's just like it sucks and I don't want to be in a career where I'm just going to have like one line on the show. And I'm just like, oh,
right.
Give me that one line on the show. Yeah. I still have the taste and the, you know, the excitement for the business and I never want that to go away. So I'm just like, don't let people's bitterness or what they've been through kind of like influence how you go upon your life. Like make your own decisions. I think that you should have your core group of people that can like steer you in the right direction and stuff like that. But ultimately really like think about it and make your own decisions and make informed decisions. And how do you feel about like having like a mentor or something like that?
I've never had one, but I would be open to having one.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's good to have someone. who has already met their personal goals or has walked in your shoes and has, you know, they're more established and they get it. And they know, like, the trials and tribulations that it takes to get there. And they can say to you, look, it's rough.
Yeah.
But look, if you stick with it, you could be here too.
Yeah.
I think it's important to have a mentor.
Yeah. Same. I'm very open to, I think I always wanted one. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I feel like I've had people, speak into me or have a mentorship kind of role here and there, but I haven't like had like one consistent person. Maybe my mom at certain points has been like that person, but, but if you find someone that can really like guide you and has your best interests, like, really invest in that relationship and, you know, stuff like that. But there's so many other things that, you know, which I'll touch on my next one, that you can, like, speak into yourself and, like, have something guide you. But, yeah, I agree. I agree on your circle of influence, young people.
Okay, so my other one is, like, just, how do I say it? I guess, like, so there's this whole thing about like burning bridges.
So this kind of like
if you listen to our friendship.
Yes.
But last week.
We assume that you did.
You did. So
right. Yeah. You know, we don't even have to go there because you did.
But it's just this thing like you have to understand, and like it's okay if you and someone grows apart, and it's okay if you feel they no longer play a pivotal role in your life. For many reasons, they could just be a negative person. And
a bitter apple.
Yeah. And it's like, it's okay to end some relationships. It's okay. Like, we're just so taught that we have to just be loyal to everyone and to the point of ruin at times. And it's like, that's not okay. Like, it's okay to be like, listen, this ain't working out for me. I'm putting me first. And because it can bring you down.
Yeah.
You know, it could harp on your soul and, you know, just not put you in a negative place. And I always feel like people are like, well, you know, you have to be there for others. And you do have to be there for others. But if you're not there for yourself first, how valuable can you be to somebody else? Mm. And I think that's very important. Like, if you're not in a good space mentally, you may want to be there for somebody else. But can you really be? How can you be there for someone else if you're not feeling well?
What do they say? You can't pour from an empty cup.
Oop. I like that. Just pour it out air. I'm thirsty, and you're serving up a cold glass of air. And, you know, it's just, and also let's not learn, and this is more, I've had this more so with the people I've dated.
Okay.
Then friendships. I don't think I can say it's for any friendship, but more people I've dated is like actions speak louder than words.
Mm.
And that's something I probably said to every man that I've dated.
Show me.
Yeah, because we, you know, I don't know.
They be talking.
Yeah, I don't know if this is something that only women do. I know I've definitely done it. But it's like someone can be showing you they do not like you, they do not care for you, they do not respect you.
Right.
They don't want to be with you.
Right.
But because they're saying I do, we're like, well, he said it. Who cares?
Right. Like, because it's just, it befuddles my mind that you would say something that's like that, that's not true. Like,
right. Like, you're going to just lie? He wouldn't lie. Yeah, he would lie. Okay? People lie because it's easier. And you know what? And if I have to like offer an olive branch to the other side of the table, the man's side, or just someone you're dating side, it's hard to break up with people. You know, because you could like genuinely have love for someone but no longer want to be with them.
Yeah.
But you know, if you break up with them, that could devastate them. Yeah. It's hard, like, you know.
Or they're going through a tough time in their life.
Right, and now you got to add to a tough time. Like, yeah. Oh, God, like, you just lost your job. Now you're going to lose me, too. So I get that it's not easy to break up with people.
Right.
And to be broken up with. But, you know, we have to sometimes take responsibility for our own lives. And because, you know, a lot of it is like, oh, so-and-so did me wrong, and I've been done wrong, too. But you know what? I also allowed myself to be done wrong because I knew pretty early on this was not working.
What do they say? People only treat you how you allow?
It's very true. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very true. Like, I've allowed stuff to happen to me, again, mostly in relationships, where, because I think with friends, I'm more like, listen, cut the crap. But with relationships, because I think this goes back to, like, the first thing about give yourself time and patience, stuff like that, is because you're dating someone and you're like, man, I don't know how long until I date somebody else.
Yeah.
And I'm on this very strict timeline to get married and have kids.
Right.
I can't fuck this up. I can't just leave this person now. We already put in 3 years.
Yeah.
He don't like me. But he says he does.
Exactly.
And we might get married and we might have kids. And you turn a blind eye to all the actions that suggest they are not feeling you. They do not want to be with you.
Yeah.
Because they're saying they do. And it's just like, we have to take responsibility for our own actions.
Exactly.
And what we allow. And the time we allow people to waste.
Yes.
Because even though time is a social construct.
You can't get that
back. You can't get it back. And especially for women, if you want to have children.
That is a realistic time.
If there's any real timeline, is that. It is your eggs.
Especially if you ain't making buku money to where you can harvest some eggs.
Right. If you can't save them up
or get a surrogate or do
our first examination, you are indeed on a timeline. That is the one thing I would say. That's the timeline we are actually on.
Yeah.
And you cannot let...
You don't want babies with... You still gonna love them, but they may have disabilities.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, my mother had my brother when she was, I want to say, 41.
Go ahead, Becky, with the good genes.
Right, so I do think I have some time left.
Right.
I got about like nine-ish years, Becky. Right? But her Shout pregnancy, out. She had to do a lot more testing. With me, she just got pregnant. She was 23. She got pregnant, she had a baby.
Exactly.
She didn't go to the doctor for like 3 or 4 months.
I was a late baby, too. My mom had me, she was like 38.
Okay.
But no, she said no. She was like 30. She was, okay, never mind.
Okay.
It was like 36 or something.
Okay.
Like that.
But with my brother, she had to do so much more testing. She had to get like the amniocentesis test where they like stick a long needle into her belly, into the
amniocentesis.
I don't know. Because they have the test for like, because with age, there's higher risk of like mental illness and special
Which
needs,
my mother
like
says
that.
It is an American thing, by the way. But I mean, because mom was like, women in Guyana was having children in their 40s, and that was not a problem. But then again, they also had organic food and stuff right now. Everything we eat now is...
Also, I will say this. In the islands, they don't really even like to acknowledge that people have special needs. They just be acting like, oh, she deaf, and that's it. They don't teach them sign language. It just be like, that's just the thing.
Not true.
You just be a whole special needs, and no one's talking about it.
So it's still a little funny, huh?
Yeah, but I do agree. No, definitely. America is like a very toxic place.
Yeah.
Like, the food is not good. Like, the fact that there's food you cannot even have. There's food and products that California doesn't allow you to have.
But New York, you eat it.
Yeah, so like.
And clothes. Like, you can't get certain clothes.
Yeah, clothes, furniture. I don't think I've seen Hellman's.
I have not seen Hellman's.
Mayonnaise
they got best
here.
Food.
Yeah, exactly. Like I was in Ralph's. Now I was like, why isn't there any name brand mayonnaise? Because it's poison.
Yeah.
That's why. I definitely agree that like countries play a big part in like why American women have more issues with childbirth. Also, we have to work more, and it's just a lot.
It's a lot.
There's a lot happening here that
where is
plays
it that
into
they don't
that.
Work a lot. What's this?
Everywhere else.
The European countries.
Yeah, like Sweden is the best.
Sweden, right?
Racist, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But they have like 22 months maternity leave and paternity leave, which is really amazing.
But back to like you need to have like
be selfish with your time, and if someone is doing things that. Are telling you they ain't feeling you?
Yeah.
I'm not going to listen to that, but that's what you should base your responses on.
And reasons why people might, you know, their body might be saying something, their words might, men get comfortable.
Yeah.
They don't want the conflict. So they could just be staying with you because you're there. Maybe you're providing something, financial security or something. And
one of my exes probably did the most damage. And I'm thankful for it now.
You're a better woman.
The first year out, I was not thankful for it. But for him...
That's growth, y'all. That's when you can look back, reflect, and the anger is gone. You're like, you've learned.
For him, it was very much what I'm talking about. Mm. Like, I was like, let's just break up. No, no, no. I'm like, you don't even like me. Literally, I'll say you don't like me. And he's like, no, that's not it. But for him, he wanted my companionship.
Mm.
So in his mind, if we stay dating, we could also just stay friends forever,
mm-hmm.
which is a beautiful thing in theory, mm-hmm. but I wanted a husband. I wanted a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. I wanted someone who was like sexually into me. Mm-hmm. I wanted someone who was going to uplift me and be like, oh, you're sexy. You're this, you're that.
Exactly.
Let's have a child together. Yeah. Let's get an apartment
together.
You're
my goddess, my queen.
Right. That's what I wanted. He wanted my friendship, which is great. But we were not on the same page. And it took a year for me to be like, whoa. I mean, the relationship lasted more than a year. It was maybe like 6-7 years of just pure fuckery.
Right.
But we were officially dating for mm-hmm. 1 year. And I guess in that 1 year really hit home. Like, I'm wasting so much of my time. Mm-hmm. Like, because now I think I was 24 when the whole thing started. And then now we're like, he's older than me. Now I was like 30, I think. Mm-hmm. And now time is sitting in. It's like, oh shit.
I wasted my good
what years. What the hell? Yeah, I wasted all these years on someone who's been telling me for years what they wanted.
Right.
And I just refuse to listen.
What
just
they
refuse
say when they
to
tell
listen.
You the first time, believe them?
Yeah, it's very true. And mm-hmm. I just refuse to listen. I refused. Like I said, I'm now don't regret the time spent because I learned so much from that relationship. And I had to like relearn about actions speaking louder than words, so it was a learning lesson, I guess. But we have to learn that sooner, I think. we have to learn that sooner that actions speak louder than words.
Facts.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, so another thing for me, what I was gonna say is, and this goes back to just being educated and with money and stuff like that, is mm-hmm. like really start like your knowledge plan now as far as like, so I feel like now I'm doing more self work as far mm-hmm. as like, you know, like podcast, like, oh, first of all, when my mother was in the car and she would be listening to NPR, I used to think she was so corny. I was like, can we put on Hot 97? You so whack. Right. But now I'm like an old bird. So like I listen to podcasts and like I listen to a lot of like YouTube videos and reading more and just like increasing my knowledge in altogether is a huge thing for me. And I feel like had I done that now when I was younger, who knows who I could have been.
Right.
Who knows? Not that like starting late is bad because Ava DuVernay, you know, she started late, and now look at her. So, I mean, it could really transform in a couple of years. But,
yeah.
But if you start earlier, really, just start earlier, y'all.
I think also it depends on what your interests are. So maybe you should, like, also figure out what you're interested
in. Try everything.
Yeah, try everything.
So, yeah, like, try different jobs. Go different places. Say yes to different things. Like what's her name? Year to the Yes, the book.
You're to the Yes.
Yeah. Grey's Anatomy's creator's name is...
Oh, Shonda Rhimes.
Shonda Rhimes. See, like, how we have to play these games? the letter L is... Okay, yeah, right. So Shonda Rhimes' book, Year of the Yes, was like she took a year where she said yes to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that could be that developmental year where you, after you are done with high school, you say... You take a year and you just say yes to stuff.
Yeah,
try
I agree.
Try different things. Try different foods. I hate closed-minded people.
Yeah.
Have different friends. Go to have different experiences. Really live your freaking life.
People who, I guess,
because you could be dead tomorrow.
I guess it's definitely an American thing then. Because I've heard people are like in my old job say this, like people who travel out the country and eat at McDonald's. That drives me insane. I mean, I'll say this. I do it only in.
It's different.
Yeah.
You spit
on me?
No, I saw it spray, but I don't know if it hit you, but you know how you are.
I know. If I go to McDonald's outside the country, it's because I know the menus are different sometimes.
Like in India, you would see what kind of curry they had on the menu.
Right, exactly. Or like my favorite thing is if you go to a Spanish country,
yeah.
They have empanadas.
Yeah.
The apple pies are fried. Oh. And they're so freaking, they're way better than the American apple pies.
Oh.
So when I go to any Spanish country, I will go to McDonald's because I want an empanada and they're so good.
Oh, wow.
But I'm not going to go to McDonald's, have a freaking large French fry.
Yeah.
That's insane to me. So just that little tip. But yeah, like if you're leaving the country or a state, just try new things. Like try everything.
With dating, can you date someone that has a very like small closed mind when it comes to a lot of stuff, you know, like you ever meet those people that won't try, you know how you are foodie, right?
Yeah.
And you know you like different cuisines and stuff. If you date someone that is just like, you know, like those people that only like certain, like, oh, I just mm-mm. Do you have a, you go to a fancy restaurant, they're like, do you have a hamburger?
No. I could not date someone like that. I could not, because to me me, it's a illustration of a bigger problem.
What was the guy on set? Can I say it? That was.
Oh gosh. Gosh, I was on set last month, and I don't want to sound like a snob. Let's start with that. But this man,
sorry,
I can tell that he had never ordered food that didn't come off a Chinese food menu or a menu with a number next to it. He could not understand that some restaurants just use the words to describe the food and there's no number associated with it.
Yo, we're so stuck up.
And I don't even mean to sound, but I was like, never even been to like Red Lobster. You never been to Olive Garden? There's no numbers on those menus either. So what restaurant was it? I don't know. Some restaurant. I can't think of it. It was like nice, you know, nice artisanal, you know, some good food, right? So he's like, is there a steak? I want filet mignon. So then this other guy is like, looking at him in utter shock. He's like, well, they have a steak sandwich. And he's like, okay. So he's like, do you want the steak sandwich? The guy messed up and said they have ahi tuna steak. He could not process that this steak was not made of meat. He's like, so what is tuna steak? He's like, it's a tuna, like the fish. He said, so is it red meat? And the guy's like, no, it's a fish, but it's steak, right? And he's like, yeah, it's a cut of a fish that's cut like a steak, but it's not meat. And he just getting, so anyway, so they finally get past that. So the guy's like, what number is it? He's like, what number? He's like, yeah, I'm going to tell the guy what number I want to order. Because So Crafty is going around. The guy's going around ordering us lunch to have time to eat later on. So he's like, what number to tell him? The guy's like, there's no number. Just tell him you want the steak, like the regular steak. He's like, yeah, but what number goes with it? And he's like, there is no number. You just tell him the words of the food that you want. And then he asks, is there barbecue sauce? Is there A1 sauce? So the guy taking down the order was just so upset. He was just, because again, no one's being stuck up. I don't think anyone ever experienced this before, where this man could not understand that not all menus come with numbers and that not all steak is beef. I don't know. It was just very strange. So him, I could never date. And do you know, do you know that
myself?
He ended up getting like the chimichurri steak sandwich. And he was like, it was terrible. It wasn't what he expected. He didn't like the chimichurri sauce. Why did you get that? It was so bad. Oh, just a little side note. So, you know, when you're on a set, right? You gotta like be likable.
Facts.
Right? I'm not saying be walked over at all. But if everyone's cool, you'll be cool too. Because that guy, they were talking about how they would never hire him again.
Yeah.
Because he was so strange and difficult when it comes to, like, even as simple as thing as ordering food. They were like, you know, he didn't get it. And it was, like, really annoying for them. I was annoyed for them because I watched this 10-minute thing go down. And I was just go buy him McDonald's. Like, he don't got to eat the good food we're eating. Buy him McDonald's. He doesn't even deserve it at this point.
He should have brought his lunch.
Anyway, so no, I need to have someone who's open-minded. Because I feel like if you're open-minded, if you're closed-minded about food.
What else are you closed-minded about?
You know?
Yeah.
So I could never tolerate date someone like that.
Yeah. Sorry. I agree.
Yo, I remember the guy that he was talking to was so perplexed. He asked me after the guy walked away. He was like, am I on a hidden camera show?
Do you really like, yes.
I was like, you have to be. We're all on a hidden camera show. We are. This is not what we all are being pranked. This is not a murder reenactment. This is punked. Punked 5.3. Because that guy was so ridiculous.
There's no excuse, I feel like. I mean, I get it. You were raised, but come on, step outside. You remember, what is it? Like, some people's life is only like 5 blocks. That was like that's a New York mentality. Like, that's, you only so know your borough.
Yeah.
It's crazy. All right. What's up? Anything else on yours?
No. Those are all my life lessons. That I want to tell my younger self.
I think we did a good job at like pretty much recapping that. I think, how's it been doing a podcast?
It's been cool, actually. It's been cool. I remember, like, I had wanted to do a podcast when I was back in New York. I never did it.
Okay.
Because it was just like, it seemed like a lot of work to get started.
It does.
And it's not.
It's not. Now, there's a lot of work in, you know, but you figure it out.
And there's the, like, in the production part.
In the production
and
part.
And the, like, promotion part.
Right.
But in act, but to just sit down and record your voice is not hard. And that right. was, I think both of us was like the hardest part.
Yeah.
Of getting started. Like, oh, do we need a microphone at first? And we didn't.
We didn't.
Our first, what, 3 episodes? We just used the Anchor app.
We did use the Anchor app. Plug, plug, plug.
Right. We got a microphone later on.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And I don't know if people have even noticed the quality or anything like that.
I don't
that.
Know either.
You know,
even in terms of like editing, we do more editing now in our later episodes.
Than
but
we
the
did.
First three, we just literally uploaded them straight
exactly.
from the Anchor app. There was no yeah. editing at all. And that came with learning.
Yeah.
But it's just so funny how, and maybe this is also fear, right? Because I know both of us are like, on the perfectionist side,
yeah,
we want things done because we're Virgos.
Yeah,
we want things done the right way, and I don't,
yeah,
and I don't think we'd use the word fear, but I guess it is fear because we don't want to put trash out there. and we both like tailed off longer than we needed to,
exactly,
out of fear of not putting out a quality product,
right?
Because we didn't want to like embarrass ourselves, but but then we pushed by it.
We did.
We pushed through it, and it's been good.
It has been good, and I agree. And when you go back and listen to a lot of podcasters' first episodes, you're like, whoa, wow.
Right.
You know?
Right. Is that a cat?
Yeah, exactly. Like, mad static, sound like they're in the bathtub. So, you know, like, they also, you figure it out along the way, and they also, you know, as time, you know, like, I'm sure season 2, if you guys want us back, yeah, we don't care, actually.
We're going to be here anyway.
We're going to be here.
Yeah.
But, I'm sure it'll sound better. You know, we'll have, you know, more guests. And now we know what to do. But the thing is that you just have, you know, and people have told me this my whole life.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Yeah,
just
true.
Start. You want to just write in. I'd be like,
Yeah.
And, yeah, so that's the thing. If you have an idea, just do it. Do it badly, because even doing it badly, you will learn from it and you will get better every time. So, yeah. So that's definitely like, I'm glad we did it.
Yeah. And just to like piggyback off like just doing it badly thing or really just doing it.
Yeah.
Like there's no perfect time.
Say it again. Yeah.
We, and I mean we as in human beings, like we're always waiting for the perfect time to do anything. Like, oh, you know, I'll do this when this happens. But if the second condition never happens, the first one never happens either.
Yep.
And so we have to just learn to just do it, mess up. Because honestly, you learn.
Yeah.
And you know what not to do next time because you messed up the first time.
Right.
And that's equally as important as knowing from the beginning what to do.
Exactly.
Because now you like physically know what not to do.
Yeah, you learn the lessons. Don't put limitations on yourself. Just do it. Like Nike.
Just like Nike.
Just
like Nike. Well, also, as we're doing a little recap, how has your year been?
My year? Oh my God, it's coming to the end of the year.
Yeah, this is it.
Holy crud, this was 2019, huh? I feel like I've done a lot of transforming this year and a lot of figuring stuff out. So I'm really confident going into the next year.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this year, I mean, I've had ups and downs and not as, and it's been a better year than 2018 because 2018 was utter trash for me.
Mm-hmm.
So 2019 was really about like trying to get back to myself, pick up the pieces, figure out who I am, what I want, especially when it comes to like relationships and just coming into a greater sense of self. I dated less this, I barely dated like that this year. So I definitely think that 2020, I mentioned this to you, I don't know, I think off of the air. We're on the air. Okay. I think I mentioned that, like, you know, like, I didn't put on my vision board a relationship and stuff like that because I was just like, I need to figure out what the fuck I'm doing with my life.
Right.
Like, other things that I feel like this year, like, going into next year, I'm more prepared for stuff like that. And I did a lot of, like, just, like, internal work this year. So it hasn't been a bad year. And I feel like it's helping me kind of wrap up a lot of the trauma and stuff from the year before. So I think 2019 for me was a good year. It was a year of just healing.
Okay.
If I was going to put a word on, if I was going to name 2019.
Okay.
Yeah.
For me, it's been, well, I moved
to
New York and That was a lot. It's my first time moving someplace.
Make sure you put that on your taxes so you can get a good
refund. Oh, definitely. I gotta, you know, I drive Lyft, so yeah. I'm gonna have to owe something crazy.
If y'all have tips on how she can, like, really
evade taxes, yeah.
Please email us at dosvirgospodcast@gmail.com.
But it was really like new challenges that, you know, I was not prepared for. Right. Honestly, having a car has been a big challenge.
Yeah, going from the subway, the metro.
Yeah, having to like pay parking tickets and like keep my car serviced. Like, that's been a big challenge. It may seem like a small thing to people who have had cars their whole lives.
Right.
But to go from like using my feet as a car to like having to like maintain this giant machine.
Right.
That's been a challenge. But yeah, I would say I honestly feel like this has been a good year because it's been a challenging year. And I know the challenges have made me stronger and wiser and more patient and all the things I need to have longevity in this business of acting and really just longevity in life as a whole. Because, you know, if every challenge knocks you down, you're not going to survive.
Right.
So I think it's been a year of just like, okay, well, you know, pick myself up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, pick myself up. And then, you know, it gets easier. Like, I remember within 2 weeks, I had like two car issues. What was the first one? I had to call AAA twice in 2 weeks. So the first time, shortly after buying 4 new tires, I had like a bolt, it seemed, in my tire. And yeah. I had to buy a new tire. So I had to buy a fifth tire.
Yeah,
and that was devastating. And then like 2 weeks later, my battery died.
I feel like all the things happened to you in your first year in California.
Yeah, all the things.
But I feel like, man, you conquered all of that shit.
Yeah, like I'm still here, right? Could have went home. Could have just like, I don't know.
You just pushed
found
through.
A nice tent to go live in. But no, I'm still here.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's been a year of like that, of like really testing myself. Mm-hmm. Because in New York, I was comfortable and I wasn't really being tested.
Yeah.
I wasn't being challenged in any way, really.
Yeah.
And so it's been like, it's been interesting and I'm glad I made the move.
Yeah.
And I do hope that I paid my dues.
Listen.
And 2020 is a little easier.
2020 better be all smooth, yo.
Yeah, can it be a little easier? Like, I don't want no more car troubles.
Yeah.
Like, I want to book more.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Any other goals for 2020 you have?
2020. You know, this same 10 pounds I've been trying to lose for a whole year. That'd be nice to get rid of that. Cool. But really, 2020 is just work less.
Right.
That's not work.
Non-act relating. Or,
yeah, work do, like, be able to, like, if I'm still driving Lyft, like, maybe that'll be because I want to buy something new. I want us to adopt a pair of Rihanna's Louis Vuitton shoes.
Yes, exactly.
That's it. I don't want to be driving Lyft as a full-time job anymore. And just really put more focus into acting and to, like, I guess working out. And not even for weight loss, just for, like, strength. Like, you know, we're getting older and arthritis is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so is osteoporosis. I don't want to get shorter. And just more time into myself. That's it, I think, for my 2020. I don't have, you know, just be better than this year and every year be better than the previous year.
Exactly. That's something I always say. I want to always strive to be the best, better version of myself. I will say that I feel like physically, as far as fitness, this is probably one of the best seasons I've been in as far as being in shape. And that's like, I've been working out more and as far as just yoga and flexibility. So just to continue, that was on my vision board. So just to continue that into the next year, I want to do season 2 of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to come back until the next year. So you guys get a little break for the holidays and stuff like that. So,
ho, ho, ho.
Oh, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And then, you know, to come back and with some freaking new headshots and stuff like
that. Yeah.
And some new hair.
New hair.
New hair, new headshots. Nobody can talk to me. And yeah, that's about it.
Yeah. So thank you for listening over these. How many episodes did we do?
We did 10.
10. Thank you for listening over these 10 episodes.
Crazy. I can't believe we did 10 episodes.
I know. It's been, thank you. Really, truly thank you. And if
we appreciate the comments that we've gotten.
Yeah, feel free to share.
Yeah, the shares. We see who listens. It lets us know We got the feed. We get the feedback. We've read every comment.
Yeah.
And we just appreciate so much the support, those who've messaged us privately and said that they liked it and given tips and feedbacks and stuff like that. I don't think we got any hate, which is nice.
No, you know, I was looking forward to it.
Yeah, she was geared up, ready.
I don't know, these Twitter fingers were been pumping all year, but no, I know. No hate. So thank you.
So thank you for that. So yeah, All right. So
till next time.
Till next time, we'll see y'all for season 2.
Yeah. Yeah.